Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I'm Doug Cunnington, and Elizabeth, my wife, is here joining me today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing awesome.
So smooth already. Just getting those out.
Yeah. All right. And we did the sound check earlier to help hopefully work those out, but you'll do fine. You're going to do fine.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining me today. We were looking at our calendar yesterday, or I was, and I was like, we don't have anything planned for the next couple of days. We're coming up upon your 2-year anniversary of being retired, and we've been doing updates here and there, and well, people like anniversaries. So we are going to go through some of the, I guess, views and observations and things that you've experienced over the last couple of years. We'll talk about the, I believe, vast improvements in your relationships, one of the most important ones. We'll also talk about part-time work that you picked up. So this could be a little bit of a surprise for some of the folks out there, but we'll get into the details, why you got that gig and any observations or surprises you had from that. Your search for purpose, and I think you're going to give us the meaning of life, per my understanding. And then we'll also, this is something that we've talked about a lot, like the views on retiring if you are financially independent, and maybe like the social pressure or the pressure from like the FI community, maybe not directly at you, but like feeling pressure to actually retire. And then we'll look at maybe tips and ideas about what you got right or wrong leading up to retirement and early on, because it's a transitional period and people, you know, don't know what to expect, basically. So we'll get into all those details. Number one, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm living the dream. No, it's really wonderful. And I think even just Sunday, I said to you, hey, guess what we don't have to do tomorrow? And you said, go to work. And I think I'm still way past the honeymoon period, but I think I am still a little bit in shock and appreciative, and I'm just so happy that I don't work. Yeah, I was never a natural worker. That's a shout out to a friend, Emily. I was never a natural worker. And like from my very first job, maybe I picked poor jobs. I think it's just me. Yeah. So working really just wasn't my jam.
And how many different jobs did you have?
Maybe 4 or 5. I think that's about right. And the longest one was about 11 years. And I wouldn't say I liked that one, but they paid me, I thought, fair for the work, and they didn't hassle me. And so it really was just easy. Mm-hmm. And not a hassle. So that's why I stayed so long. I wouldn't say I was loving it.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And I'm just curious, like, can you share, because it's been years since you had that job, how much were you getting paid at that job? Because you were like, it was fine. And, you know, there's inflation and all that, but like.
Sure. I don't remember how old I was when I started. I could back into it. It was right before we met. So maybe I was like 27, 28 when I started. And that was the job where I first hit 6 figures. And I don't think I went significantly above that.
Yeah.
But I started below 6, hit 6 with them. And yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was interesting because like we both, I think we have a similar outlook on work, especially like the retired portion, because like this lifestyle like fits pretty well. And like there was a little adjustment, but like not too much. That said, we both had decent jobs and roughly were paid about the same. And our salaries kind of went up about the same too. Never like huge. I never felt like I was like really well compensated. Even at the company that I was at, I was always like probably like right in the middle of the bands of salary. You were probably the same, although you were at smaller companies often, right?
Yeah. And I was just getting what I would consider well compensated when I quit. Mm-hmm. That would have been a nice salary. It would have been a nice bonus. Again, was not worth it.
Yeah. Was it hard to walk away from it? Because I talked to some people and, you know, we have friends that are one more year syndrome kind of thing, but they're at the top of their career. Sure. They've worked, whatever, 20 years to get there. And finally, they're getting compensated what they think is like more fairly. And it's like, ah, so was it hard for you to walk away from it?
No.
Why not?
I was ready. I really was ready. But I do understand that mindset. A good friend of mine that also left her job much closer to traditional retirement age said exactly what you just said. I've worked my whole career to get this salary. She had learned how to delegate. So I don't think she was working that hard. You know, she wasn't working like 60 hours a week or whatever. So she learned how to delegate. She had a nice salary. She's like, I have worked my whole year to get to this level. But her whole career. And she has since retired. And also, I don't think has any regrets. And I think she was ready.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you're thinking about that and you're thinking about the money, I just think that's an excuse because for whatever reason, you're not ready.
And it's interesting because like it comes down to the money in that case because it's like basically you're recognized through your salary. So I wonder if those people, I'm sure everyone's different, right? If they are looking at like the internal validation where they're like, yes, like I am earning this money and they are paying me and it's awesome and I'm doing this for myself. Or if it's like some kind of external validation where the company's recognizing you and you're like, you feel good because of that. Or if it's literally the money. And in some cases, the ones we're talking about is probably not the money, right? It's because the money, like the projections are fine. They have enough money. Any views or thoughts on that?
I don't know. Everybody's different. And you've slogged for a lot of years through just crap work. And so I think, you feel it's your due. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and this, we'll kind of get into it later a little bit more too. But yeah, it is interesting because some people are like, they feel some drive or duty to stick with it. And luckily, I did not have that issue. All right. And Georgie is joining us today. So normally when we record down here, I will leave Georgie upstairs. When Elizabeth is here, Georgie can stay around. We'll have to pet her and she's kind of bossy. So if you hear noises, that is what it is.
She's like her mama. I just took her collar off. So that should help.
Yeah. Cool. And Georgie's welcome here. We don't want her to eat her toys. She'll eat not the whole thing, but like she'll not just chew it up. She'll like chew it up and swallow it.
Yeah.
Not good for a stomach. Okay. So now, part-time work seems surprising, especially after all the stuff I was talking about. It's like, why get another job? So why'd you get another job?
So we have a good friend who has her own seasonal cookie business. It's called Leckerly. They're not baking right now, but feel free to look it up. They're delicious. And she has been working on some improvements in her life. And she decided this year she would have someone answer customer service emails. And so it was an opportunity to learn a different part of the business. I've helped in the production side before. And also to help out a friend and make a very stressful time less stressful. So it was 10 to 15 hours a week at the peak time, maybe for 6 weeks, a little less on the front and back end. And oh my gosh, it was so stressful. It was so stressful. And she couldn't have been a sweeter and nicer boss, so patient with training. The customers in general were all just super stoked to be getting their once a year holiday cookie. So everyone's, for the most part, very positive. And if they weren't, I just escalated it up to her. I didn't have to deal with any of the upset customers, which there were so few. But it was very, very stressful.
And before we talk about that a little bit, what are the cookies? We'll link up to it so people can check them out. They're seasonal, but when the holidays come around, say in like October or so. So
we should have brought a tin down. They're Nuremberg style Lebkuchen, which is a German gingerbread cookie. And they're very authentic. They lived in Germany for several years. She got, I think her words, just sort of obsessed with this cookie. And so it's small batch baking. I'm like, now I feel like I'm a cookie salesman, but they're delicious and I love them. I've got two boxes in the freezer right now because they freeze pretty well. And I'll pull one out in the next month or so. I don't know when the next one's going to get pulled out, but then I'll have to wait until like October or November for my next fix of Lebkuchen.
Yeah,
they're very good.
We'll put a link and sign up for the email list because they send out emails when they're available and all that stuff. So like seasonal, they're great for gifts. And they're like high end cookies.
Very much.
Yeah, they're expensive cookies and often, you know, they're German cookies. So a lot of times it's people that have or either they're German or like someone in their family is.
They're for everyone though.
Yeah, everyone can have them.
They're everyone.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was super stressful. And I had thought, you know, at some point maybe it'd be fun to have part-time work for some pin money, which is what they would say in, I don't know, olden times.
Yeah, pin money. Who says that?
Pin money? I think, I don't know.
Is it like P-E-N?
No, P-I-N.
Okay.
Like pinhead. But yeah, even though it wasn't that many hours and it wasn't that much work and everyone was so wonderful and so pleasant, I still had the expectation that I had to go check my email. I had to respond. There was standards I needed to meet. And the way it loomed over me was really surprising. Mm-hmm.
And it was only, whatever, 10 hours a week. And Sandy was super flexible and accommodating.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't have asked for somebody nice. And I just, you know, I felt horrible, like the couple mistakes I made. I felt horrible. And she's like, no, that's okay. I've done that before. I've you're fine. And then she'd send me nice emails that the few customers were like, oh, your customer service is so good. So it was really nice, but I don't think I'm ready for it. And, you know, even though it was a little bit of extra money that theoretically I'd do something with, which I did do a little bit something fun with, I could have done that anyway.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a spender and I'm like, oh, I'll earn this money and I'll waste it on some fun stuff. I can't waste. It's very hard for me to waste money.
Yeah. And not even waste. So you're using waste as like a more aggressive term than even what you mean. So it's like even things that you value, you had a hard time like buying more. And part of it is not like actually spending the money. It's just like you don't want to have too much stuff and accumulate, just have a bunch of stuff around.
What was the last thing you were going to buy? It was some, let's back that up. You were going to buy a yard equipment tool.
Oh, like an aerator.
Yeah. You were going to buy something.
Oh, like hedge clippers. Cause like I clip the hedges and I was like, yeah.
And I was like, that's just another thing we're going to have in the garage.
Yeah.
And it's not that like we don't need, like it would be useful, but every time I think of buying something, I'm like, that is another thing in this house or that is another thing.
And it's just a little friction. And it may like, the thing is, it would save me like probably a couple hours of time, like each time I trim the hedges. So a few hours. I use like hand clippers and like large blades, and my hands would get sore. So I was thinking like, oh, this will save my hands a little bit.
Maybe,
but I could also just hire someone.
We could get you one of those muscle,
like hand gripper,
gripper strengtheners, maybe. Maybe you've got some sort of deficiency.
Well, we're getting old now. So I was like, I could be getting arthritis in my hands. And grip. Yeah.
I bet there's a supplement for that.
Yeah. And her joke that she thinks is a joke is I take some supplements. But look at my hair is growing back. It is not growing back. Okay. So you thought that you would have like a little extra money to spend, but the thing is, like, you have a fun fund and I didn't even
use my full fun fund.
Yeah.
And
so it's like, we had, like, you didn't need money. Like, you did it for fun, basically, and to test out working.
And I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I do think, or at least I had thought at some point that I would go get a part-time job of some kind or another and focus on something that I would enjoy and that would be fun and not corporate, less stress, less pressure. And I'm not ready. Maybe I won't ever be ready. That being said, I don't know if Sandy listens to this podcast. I'd do it again for her and for the company because I love the cookies. And I actually kind of work for the cookie discount, mm-hmm. employee discount. But yeah, it was surprising.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We have a few friends and there have been requests for people that have retired and they went back to work. So I actually have a list of three people that I want to talk to, maybe have them all in at the same time. I'll see. We're all friends, but it is interesting. Some people have gone back. Some people have, maybe there's financial, like you said, oh, maybe it'll like leave the pressure. Like you have a fund, but maybe you still feel pressure. And if you had whatever, I mean, you earned, we'll say it was like 60% more on top of your fund or even more than that. No, it was like 80%. Yeah.
No.
Anyway, the numbers don't matter, but it was a significant bump on top of the fund and it didn't really leave. I mean, it's another thing.
I didn't even spend my fund.
Yeah.
But a finance update for us, Doug spent all of his fund and I have rolled over my unspent fund into the next year, which is a little bit of a source of contention because he doesn't want me to have more fun than him in any given year. But
oh, wait. No.
What?
Actually, since you're bringing it up, I was like...
this is the best time to air grievances.
So stick with us, everybody. So So I was like, we should increase the fund, but you were like... I don't want you to spend more because I'm like,
that's true.
This is my budget. I'm like a government entity. I'm a bureaucrat here. I'm like, that's my budget. If I don't use it all, I was within like one fucking dollar. So if I don't use it all, then next year my budget's cut. And if I go over, I'm like, I can't do everything. My budget's too small. I need more budget. So
we did increase the fund budget and I rolled over my unspent money.
True. You did roll it over. And you, like, part-time jobs are on top of the fund. So now you're, like, very far ahead. You're, like, 2 years ahead of me or something like that.
I didn't roll over the part-time. Anyway, we're getting into much. But yes, I'm way ahead of Doug. That's
the final moment. But as far as fun, I am farther ahead.
You are.
I'm farther ahead on fun. So, and a lot of my stuff is infrastructure related. Yes. So now the groundwork is laid.
I was like, how many guitars can we see in this shot?
There's many off frame here. They sound great. They all do a different thing. I need different tunings and stuff. I've been laying down tracks. Okay. Back on track here. So someday you may revisit work. And I mean, you do get a flavor of like showing up, having responsibility in this seasonal work. And you've been doing stuff with Sandy, I mean, really for like, what, like 4 years
four
or something?
5 years, yeah. And it was like a little bit of fun to figure out how to streamline some things. And I had to look up some new formulas that I didn't know. And so that was a little bit of fun because I'm a geek and I used to live in Excel. So, but not enough fun.
Yeah. All right. So... let's talk about surprises, things that were better than expected or worse than expected. And this could be, you know, leading up to the few weeks from when you retired to probably like now you've had some time to digest the first 6 months or whatever. And looking back, you're like, oh, this was a little weird.
Sure. I am still surprised at how much I love not working. I mean, we joke about it. I think a couple times a week we'll say to each other, can you believe we don't work anymore? I did not think I would like it this much. That's just amazing. And I create my own stress because I'm an overachiever. But
it's like a baseline of stress that like will show up.
Every now and then. I do create some stress through self-imposed deadlines or projects or whatever. But I am surprised at how unstressed I am. And I think I've gotten pretty good at recognizing when I'm getting stressed out. And I mean, I say it to you too. I'm like, what are you stressed out about, man? Like you control your schedule, mm-hmm. like figure it out. Like we're in such a good position. So that's been really surprising. And then I was thinking a lot about when you ask, like, what's been better, what's been worse. Well, actually, hold on before I go on. Is there anything that you're surprised about with me
quitting? I'm also actually same exact point. I think I was not certain how you would do with the unstructured free time, although you come up with your own, like our weekends, like we had our own projects and stuff to do and hobbies, and you're pretty good about like, hey, I don't have anything planned. Like if I'm out of town or something, you're like, I don't have anything planned. I should set up some social thing or whatever. So you're on top of it. But yeah, totally surprised that you took to it so well, and you didn't feel pressure to like try to get another job. I think for maybe 6 months or so, you were like looking at job postings and stuff. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So you were like looking at job postings. You're like, oh, so-and-so's hiring, or you would look at positions at the former company and you'd be like, oh, there's a position there. So you were kind of like, it was part of the transition, I think. And I was like,
I think you might be wrong, because okay. We had decided I wasn't even going to think about getting another job for at least the first year.
That's why I was so surprised when you were looking at the postings.
Well, okay. That sounds surprising. I don't remember that, but yeah. I wasn't even considering taking something. That was something I did well, as I was, because I wasn't sure how I would take it. And if you can't see me, there's a lot of pointing that's going on right now.
Yeah, get your finger out of my face.
That was a good decision I made. I wasn't sure how well I'd take to it. And I said out loud and to myself, no matter what, I'm not going to get a job the first year. So my last day was at the end of March-ish. So that's 9 months. And like, no matter what happens, the economy tanks, whatever, like we have all these unexpected expenses, I'm taking the first 9 months. So I don't remember looking at job postings. It sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I did better than that. Bum.
The other is around, I guess, like hobbies and hiking and stuff like that. So you got out, you tried different stuff and like had different interests along the way, which we'll talk a little bit about that. But like, yeah, you had more time available. So you were like, oh, I'm going to use it for things that I say are important to me. And I think this is one of the things that I hear when people do retire and they're like, I played video games or I did something sucky for 6 months. And then they're like, oh yeah, so I decided to get another job. Like you didn't do that at all. You're like, oh, I said this shit's important and I'm going to go do that stuff. And I think that's where some of the people missed out. And they're like, I said all this stuff's important. And then for whatever reason, they don't execute on it, like any of it. If they just would do like one or two, they could like get some momentum by taking action.
That's one thing. I was really trying to think what's worse, because kind of nothing has been worse. But I'm surprised that I'm not in more of a groove. And I think I expected, I guess that's the best word, I think I expected to have a groove.
Like a routine?
Yeah. To be like, I do this on this day or I do this on that day. And I've had the opportunity to have a routine or a groove. And I've kind of pushed back on that, which is weird because that's definitely, I think, more of my personality. So every day is different. And I'm really continuing to struggle with that, with overscheduling versus underscheduling. So having nothing to do for a couple days and then having maybe too much crammed in for this month or that month. So that has been hard, but like first world problem hard. I really try to lean into those slow moments. So yeah, I think that's maybe worse or harder than I thought, is figuring out how much stuff is too much. Like what's enough stuff to keep me engaged without being overwhelmed.
And I see what you're saying. And I see you're adjusting, because I was going to say, I think for me, it's great to have a couple anchor points per week, but not too many, because then you're like, I'm locked in and I have no flexibility. So you have some things that you do, which I'll let you talk about in a second, but like you have an anchor point on Tuesdays. And for about a year, year and a half, you had another one on Wednesday. So you actually have those. And some of some other things are like having lunch with your friends, and that's maybe once a month. So there are different, there's different things that you're testing and you're like, that's too much, or it fucks up the rest of my day and I can't do anything before or after. So yeah, I think you're doing a good job, and there's like no, I mean, you're right on the edge. So I think like you're on the edge of like the exact point, but maybe you can't, it's super hard to land on it.
Yeah. It's a positive and a negative that every day is different, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I would have expected to have more of a routine. And if you listen to one of the previous, maybe about the year update episode, when I was coming in to like not wanting to overschedule that first 9 months, I had this ridiculous scoring system about how I was going to spend my time. And I was like, oh, I get a point for cleaning and a point for being social, a point for doing something. And I punted that real fast. And because it was, I felt too boxed in.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think about it every now and then. Like if I clean something in the house, I'm like, oh, good for you. You get a point for today. But
star,
yeah.
Gold star.
But I abandoned that very, very quickly.
So take us through like maybe this week, some of the activities that you were doing, and this, you could talk about hobbies and things that you're doing, but I think this was like a good week of like multiple different things and like flexibility. Some stuff got canceled, which you could talk about that too. But yeah, what was the week like for you?
I did not bring my phone down because I was trying to be present for you. Mm. So
I could tell you a couple I remember.
Well, I volunteer at the library on Tuesdays. So I did that. I had an anchor point on Wednesday when I'd curl. If you've been watching the Olympics with the stones. So I sub. I'm not a regular for that. So I curled on Wednesday.
And that's like a couple, few hours, right?
Yeah. And it's a great group of people. And they're very sweet. And I think they're a little disappointed that I don't do it anymore as a regular, kind of because they like me, but more because they just need the numbers. But I didn't like having that Wednesday so tied down. Mm-hmm. See, Wednesday night was book club. I almost forgot about book club. And then Thursday, I was supposed to have a German lesson, but that got canceled. And I don't remember what was on Monday.
I think Monday was like an open day.
Yeah. Oh, I think Monday I played pickleball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you did play pickleball.
Yeah, look there at me. Go. I'm a little butterfly.
Yeah, yeah. So you had like plenty of activities, mostly social.
And we skip things in the community. I think that's been one of the hard ones too, is I really like Doug.
And I like you too.
Yeah. We're such idiots. I really like Doug and I really like Georgie. And I am pretty happy being with them most of the time, though it doesn't sound like it based on my past week. I think definitely in the evenings. We've got such a good evening routine, and a lot of things happen at night because a lot of people have 9-to-5 jobs. And so I think I still struggle with feeling like I'm missing out by not doing things in the evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the evenings, all the stuff I mentioned there, except for book club, all the stuff I mentioned there was daytime. And then we come home and I pet Georgie for an hour and a half.
Yep.
From 4 to 5:30.
And often when you're out, not always, but like I'll pet Georgie during that time. But I'm at the gym or out doing something. So it's like, yeah, we have separate hobbies, which is a good thing. And we have like similar hobbies, but yeah, a lot of separate stuff, which is good. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to balance just like anchor points. Is there something, it sounds like you kind of want to have a routine. You want to have the groove. Is that, do you think it'll make you more content or happy to have that? Or is it actually pretty good, like the week that you described, because there's some variation and there's flexibility all in one?
This week was pretty busy. But like I said, I thought I wanted to have a routine. But as I get more of that, I push back on it. So I'm not really sure what I want. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can figure that out for the both of us. Little Kenneth Parcell there.
Yeah, I was like, who is that? Okay, so
can we go to relationship improvements?
Yes. So I have observed that your relationship has improved. talk about that.
Okay, since I brought it up.
Yep.
We, I think, were very lucky that we both had worked from home periodically. So we've spent a lot of time together. We're not one of those couples that have been married for 30 years, but have been working 9 to 5s and, you know, only seeing each other awake for a few hours in the evenings. So mm-hmm. I think we were well situated to spending so much time together. But you think you know where this is going? I actually think things have gotten better. And I think being less stressed myself, I have been able to be more appreciative of the things that you do around here. I don't know if it goes the other way, but here's an example. You asked me something, well, and this isn't the things you do, but this is maybe me being less of a jerk. You asked me something the other day, and I don't even remember what it was. It was pretty innocuous. It was not a big deal. And I kind of snapped at you. And like 15 seconds later, I was like, hey, I'm sorry. You didn't deserve that tone. Mm. I never would have done that before. Mm. And I'm still kind of surprised I did it a few days ago. But I do think that that has changed. And you were really good a few weeks ago. Again, probably nothing, but we started sniping at each other for some reason. And you said, hey, we've had a really great day. I want this to be a positive interaction, which is the same thing he says about our dog when she's fighting going on a WALK. So yeah. It's fine that he relates.
That's good. Here's a piece of chocolate.
Yeah, by the way. That works. But I do think we've gotten better. And for me, I think it's been less stress. And yeah. Yeah. Did you think that's what I was going to say?
I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah. Agree or disagree? Rebuttal. Rebuttal.
Yeah, I agree. I think the less stress is always good. And even if it doesn't feel like you were more stressed when you were doing the customer service, even small number of hours, good work environment, all that stuff. You did all that from home, right? Like, and you could do it while we were traveling and stuff too.
The traveling helped that stress level quite a
right.
bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you were definitely like a little more stressed and amped up. But yeah, yeah. This totally makes sense. And I was watching some short documentary on blue zones where people live to be very old. And one of the ladies on there who's like, whatever, 95 or something, she just really emphasized, like, don't have too much stress. Like, just be calm. And it makes sense to me. Like, just not driving in traffic for an hour and a half a day or whatever I used to do.
It's easy.
Huge.
It's something that's completely under our control, our reactions. But it's something that's so hard to do because no one can make you stressed. Mm-hmm. Like, you do it to yourself.
Yeah. 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 So, slightly related, since you stopped working, I worked a little bit more, maybe for the first year. And we kind of expected that I was, because I had a few years of pretty consistent income with my business. Things changed. I decided, hey, I'm shutting this stuff down. I didn't require income for our projections to work. But the question is, I've been doing less work. Have you noticed that I'm doing less work and doing more non-work activities?
I've noticed less of a stream of people coming down here for podcast interviews.
Oh, interesting.
There was, for a while, I mean, once or twice a week, and then of steady people coming down into the basement. So that has been more of a notice. I think you spend just about the same amount of time down here. I think I maybe hear more guitar music coming from downstairs. And whenever Doug's like, I'm just going to go downstairs for 10 minutes to check something real quick, it's like 45 minutes later. It's like a black hole down here. Mm-hmm. And then I'll hear the guitar filtering up. So, yeah, I think so. I think more music, definitely less people coming through the house.
Yeah.
And I'd meet people at events or out, and they're like, oh, I've been in your house. Great.
Yeah. What's interesting, because like, this podcast, like, never made much money. Like, at best, when we had the GhostBed sponsor, like, it was $800, like, after everything said and done. Like, it was not that much. But all that to say, now, like, I think it was Carl was more in touch with people coming in town.
Mm.
And then he was over more often. But Pete's been over, like, pretty often. Yeah,
I just had I think I've been out more, too.
Oh, you're right.
And yeah, because Pete
has been coming over quite a bit.
Yeah, I think I've been out more. And for several years, I would be just working. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that could also be it. But I don't think you have as many guests as you used to.
Okay.
But yeah. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Again.
More, and this could go nowhere, but so less people in here, but like the amount of like stress that I had. Was I stressed out before? Am I less stressed because I'm doing less work, or was I already?
I think you may be a little less stressed.
Too blessed.
Do you feel like you're less stressed?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There are still opportunities for me to do stuff to make money, but I'm just like, I would not do this for free. So I'm not doing this. So unless it's a large enough amount, then
yeah,
then I guess I have a price. But yeah, interesting.
Everyone can be bought.
Interesting. Okay. The next thing I want to hit here is around the pressure to retire, or like when people keep working. We had a lot of discussion about this over the years, but very recently on Doc G's podcast, Earn and Invest, he had guest Roger, and Roger is continuing to work. Per my understanding on the episode, he could retire based on normal five projections. There's always nuance, right? But he wants to continue working, and they had a debate, and they know each other. They're friends. They had a good friendly debate, but this is an area where I think some of the FI community may have at large, not intentionally, like put pressure on people to like not work if they hit FI, because that's the whole point. And in listening to the episode, it made me realize I don't care that much. Like, if people want to keep working, that's great. I don't want to convince them. I don't really care that much. And it's very personal, and there's a million different factors. Early on, I believe the first activity that we went to at the FI Collective used to be Mr. Money Mustache HQ. It was like tons of people, maybe like 80 people, and you had an experience that I want you to share here. And then we'll get into your ideas about like if people should retire or how they should approach it or the pressure or the whole thing. So what was it like that first event?
I don't remember it clearly. I don't in detail, but I felt that people were a lot in my business about why are you still working? I don't think anyone said directly like how much money do you have, but exactly what you said, there was just some aggressive folks.
It felt that way.
It felt to me to be very aggressive. And I think you maybe touched on it a minute ago. Nobody knows what's going on in people's lives. Some people in this community share their net worth, but you don't know how much money someone has. You don't know how much money they spend. You don't know their risk tolerance. And everyone has to do what's right for them. And I got a lot of social pressure from you for a while to quit working. And I think you finally realized, hey, this isn't the way to go about it. Yeah. So I don't know if I really identify as being part of the FI community. I don't think it was really a goal that we worked to over many years. We just kind of lived frugally, I guess, or just within a budget. But I did want to share this story. I've become more forgiving to whoever those folks were back when I was first here. Just like, yeah, you don't know what someone else is going through. Maybe you don't know the specifics behind that person who's pressuring you. And just a few months ago, I was that pressuring jerk to our friends who were in town. And very good friends, Chris and Mike. came in town to see us, and like he kind of nicely at one point had to tell me to back off. And I felt horrible afterwards. But really, what I was trying to impart was, I am so happy now, and I want you to be this happy. And I could see that they had stressors from their jobs, and for whatever reasons, they're not there. They're not ready. But I was that social. You were there. You saw it.
Yeah.
You're like, what's wrong with you? And my girlfriend and I, we had talked about this over the years, just options to coastify or to downgrade and have a different type of job. So it wasn't completely out of the blue, but yeah, just like you don't know what someone else is going through, you know, maybe that person had a really horribly toxic work environment, or maybe it freed them up for a lot of family care, or who knows. So yeah, I'm a little more forgiving than I was. But yeah, I was very turned off by the whole community for quite a while.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, like, some of our good friends now, I'm like, hey, this is like, whatever, 5.5 years ago. I'm like, oh, you want to hang out with so-and-so? And you're like, ah, they're from the event, right? And yeah. You were like, yeah, so everybody was tainted for a while.
I will say, like, some of the people that maybe you're going to have on future podcasts, I straight up don't understand why they are still working. And one person in particular, whom I shall not name, just loves his job. Which is bonkers to me, because I hated every single job I had. So I don't understand, but it's not for me to understand. It's not my decision.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It is super interesting. And I think I've definitely backed off too, because I think at some point, I'm just like, yeah, if someone's working and they have the ability to not work, well, and I'm almost gonna backtrack on my statement immediately. If someone has done a job for a pretty long time, say 10 years plus, I'm like, you probably got a lot out of that gig, and you probably can do something different that's more novel that will help you expand in a different direction. Even if you keep working, if you got a different job, it would probably be better. And actually, I reached out to both Jordan and Roger to let them know I appreciated the episode and all that stuff. And Roger brought up some good points around his job, where he's like, oh, you know what? It does stay pretty novel. And I get that. And then again, I was like, ah, you know what? If someone wants to keep working, I don't really give a fuck. That's great. If they like their job, they like the people, right? If you like the people and you have a good routine around it, and maybe your circle of friends sure. are around there, it totally makes sense. And it's not sure. my decision. No.
And here's the thing, if they ask, sure, share your opinion.
Right.
But if someone isn't asking you, hey, what do you think I should do? Or do you have an opinion about this? To come out and think you know better than them is pretty arrogant.
Yeah. And I have some other friends where, like you said, you don't know their all yeah. the financial situations. So maybe there's like aging parents that they're accounting for. Maybe there's other family circumstances sure. that you don't know.
So, absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about your views on spending and budgeting. We kind of hit on a couple of these areas, but people probably know we're working with a financial advisor. We started maybe a quarter before you retired. That gave us the confidence to let you pull the plug, stop working. And we've had a budget that we're working within. So how's that going overall?
I think it's going pretty well overall. I still wish you would be more engaged in it, but we pick our battles.
Mm-hmm. How more engaged?
Again, this is airing of grievances. Well, this budget for next year, we changed, and I asked you to thoroughly review it and provide your feedback, because I wanted your buy-in. And I'm not sure that ever happened. If it did, the fact that it happened was not relayed back to me. So there's a little benefit of the doubt for you. But I still really like working with a budget. It's a long time frame that hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be living. And so that still gives me some pause. But I have loosened up a little bit. And I don't think I'm watching it as closely as I was. We've got a couple years under our belt, and so I feel like unless something really weird changed, we pretty much know how much we're going to spend. Mm-hmm. But I find comfort in having that budget and knowing that it's been blessed by a financial advisor. Oh, sorry, rebuttal. My time is up.
good point. We didn't have the formal review. I gave light feedback in that I was like, hey, we need more in the fund. I'm running out. So yeah, good feedback. I'll take note on that.
I know I think I very much more drive the whole budget concept. If I wasn't here, or let's say I disappear.
And unexpectedly.
I won't say. Yeah. But so it's just you and our financial advisor. Do you think you'd still have a budget and track it? Well, actually, you just got all my fund.
So. Things loosened up quite a bit. Yes, I would. And I think our dynamic is good because I think we pull each other in the opposite direction, sure. Although there's friction when we're pulling. But basically, I think I wouldn't look at it as granularly, most likely. And not that we're super granular, but we have more line items than I think are necessary. I would probably look at it from a quarterly standpoint. The thing is, like you said, we kind of have things locked in. So unless we have a big expenditure, so like we kind of know, like even if I buy a bunch of stuff at the grocery store, it's still like well within anything we would spend. And typically we waste very little from that standpoint.
And we're not too worried about that. Are you still buying a bunch of street meat?
Not as much, because that's one thing I've changed. So for the people that don't know, can you describe street meat?
I think street meat came from a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode where Captain Holt and...
Is it Amy?
Amy, yeah. They were on the street somewhere and they got from a food truck or cart food. And she was really happy that they had bonded over the street meat.
Yeah, street meat.
Street meat is like the deeply discounted food from the grocery store or the big box store that expires today, so you can get it for 50% off. And so Doug would...
It was like 25%.
25. He'd buy the street meat in bulk and either freeze it or just...
Cook it that day.
Yeah, cook a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. So much less street meat these days, because we'll potentially do another episode. I stopped buying as much red meat recently. Right. So previously I was getting like these... just awesome steaks. And we're having steaks like probably 1 to 2 times per week.
And the ground beef packs. I forgot about those.
Yeah, we'd get whatever, 5 pounds of ground beef and just make a bunch of stuff. So cut back on that. I got a physical coming up. So
Doug always likes to cram for his physicals.
I'm viewing it as like a test. An experiment where I'm like, I cut out. Yeah. But then I know, and I could like take it away, like, okay, this like less red meat. So there's a good chance we'll have less red meat moving forward.
So you would, bringing it back. So you would still budget a little bit.
Oh yeah. I would budget. but I would do it on like a longer level. So, or a longer interval. And, you know, we go through each month. I'm often behind. Nowadays, I'm like, I get my stuff in before the end of the next month. So pretty far behind. You're more like first or second, like you have your stuff in.
I hear your feedback. I'd like to make the point though that...
Yeah, so 6 months intervals, something like that.
Sure. I hear your feedback. I hear your truth. I have to pay the credit card on a monthly basis and our mortgage, you know, everything comes on a monthly basis. So it feels very natural to me. I agree with you that we could probably push it to less frequently.
Yeah. But it does make sense. Yeah. And then, the benefit of going through monthly and like even though the business is pretty much shut down, I still do the bookkeeping stuff on a monthly basis because then you can keep an eye on like, hey, is there a weird outlier expense that shouldn't be there or some subscription that I didn't sign up for recurring payments or whatever.
So. And who in this day and age now has not had a credit card violated and fraudulent charges? I mean, I've had a credit card opened in my name, so that's identity theft. But I think I've also had credit cards that I've had to shut down a couple times.
I forgot.
Yeah, and that it doesn't happen that frequently, but and they've gotten so good at notifying you about it. But I still don't think I would ever just get our credit card bill and just pay it.
Yeah.
I definitely can get a little detailed, but I think there's a reason I go through those charges.
With the idea of spending and then market performance. So we've had a couple good years, which that was great. I mean, I think if the market went down, then there was probably a higher likelihood that you would think, hey, I need to get a job or like this is really important. However, we've had a couple of great years. We'll have a down one before too long. Like that's part of the ride here.
Yeah.
But yeah, any thoughts on just because of the great market returns, how much of an impact do you think that's had on you, like loosening up a little bit and like not watching as closely?
Probably some. I think our financial advisor has said the good years fund the down years. So I don't think I'm going to feel great until we weather some down years and go through that. It's been much better than the alternative to have retired and have two great years. Like, and that I think really has made it significantly easier. The other thing that sort of we did in preparation for me not working anymore, us not working anymore, is I think we have more of an understanding of our discretionary budget. And obviously, we haven't had to pull the lever on this, but if we do have down years, I think we can significantly cut our spending. And knowing that is helpful as well. Gosh, we live in Colorado. It's freaking gorgeous here. We don't take super expensive trips because of the dog, but we do spend a significant amount of money on travel, and we do spend a lot of money on food. So if we did have a downturn, knowing that we could pull those levers helps a lot too, without getting another job.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a great couple of years. Like what wonderful timing when you look back at the span of just returns. It didn't have to be this way.
Right. You know, you mentioned you'll feel even more confident when we do experience some down years. One thing we made it past, I think, I mean, there's probably a couple more years, but with the sequence of returns, like, do you know if there's like a specific amount of time? I mean, it's just like...
I feel like most of those sequence of return studies that I've looked at or we've looked at are much closer, like much more of a standard retirement age. So yeah, I don't really know how that affects us since we could be looking at 40 years.
Right. There's more time to recover with our longer time frame.
There is more time to recover. But I think as we have grown over the past 2 years, if we don't increase our spending to go with that growth, then the sequence of returns becomes less problematic. But I think if we do increase our spending and be like, yeah, okay, we have this much more money, we can spend this much more and like keep it sort of a die with zero tight, then the sequence of returns is going to be impactful for much longer.
Right. But like the other thing is like we have been under budget a little bit each year of the two, which obviously is helpful. And it proves like the discretionary amount that we have is like, it's in the budget and we're not even taking advantage of some of the budget that we do have allocated.
Things happen. And last year, things happened too. I think we spent like $3,000 on our 15-year-old car, but we've been healthy. The house has been good. So some of the unspent budget applies to sort of large unexpected expenses. And we've been lucky that that hasn't happened the past couple year, but every year won't be like that. But we did have the big $3,000 car expenditure.
Right. And for people do this differently. Some people will have like a large emergency fund And then maybe they won't have a line item, but we have a line item for unexpected each month. And
we do.
If we don't use it, then it's just money we didn't spend, which is good because it's like, it means you didn't have like whatever hail damage or whatever.
We do.
Some disaster.
We could revisit having a large emergency fund and then giving you access to some of that to pad your fund, my friend.
All right.
Would you like to do that?
That sounds like an interesting idea. We could shuffle. It's all smoke and mirrors. Okay. So the last thing is maybe tips that you have around people that are approaching retirement, maybe 6 months to go, or maybe they're 6 months in. So right around that time frame, now that you've had experience and some time to sit with that time frame. So anything that you did like leading up to retiring, that sort of thing, just structuring your day so you have some anchor points, but not too many.
Yeah, I'm not a good podcaster. Doug is much better than me because I tend to hedge. And what worked for me wouldn't necessarily work for someone else. So take all my advice with a grain of salt. I did, I think, a very good job at being as ready as I could. It would not have worked for me to retire when you wanted me to. I wasn't ready. So I did research of my own. You know, we got the financial advisor to stress test. I felt certain that, well, I thought I felt certain that I could not look for a job for 9 months and just enjoy it. But apparently I was job searching and have blocked that out. But I was ready. With that being ready, I had a great opportunity to go from 5 days to 4 days to 3 days and to experience having that extra time. And everyone doesn't have that opportunity, but that was also very helpful to experience what it was going to be like to have that extra time for hobbies. So yeah, I don't know. As I've said in previous podcasts, know thyself. So I think be honest with yourself about what's going to work for you and what's not going to work for you. My big thing I said to you so many times was there's no point in doing this if I'm going to be stressed. If I'm going to be worried about spending money, why am I going to quit my job? Like that's defeating the purpose. So I got to a point where that wasn't the case and it worked. The other thing, yeah, like we said, I'm really glad I didn't fill up my time too much immediately. And I actually had to sit, maybe not have a lot to do, and sit outside with Georgie and play ball or whatever. Just have these really nice down times. And I'm still figuring out how much I want to fill up my time. So I don't know if that was a good answer, but know thyself. That's my go back. I always go back to that because what works for me isn't going to work for somebody else. And I think maybe someone who's a little less fear-based than me, I do think a lot of my decisions are fear-based. Maybe someone who's a little less fear-based can just jump right in and be like, hey, I don't like this. I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to make it work. And then they will. And they'll be like, oh, I'm so glad I did that. That would not have worked for me. Sort of throw them in the pool and see if they can swim. Mm-hmm.
Some people, yeah, that was a good answer. Some people say that you should retire to something. And I usually argue, in fact, just recently talked about this with Kristen Knapp. I'm like, some people maybe need to have a little more structure, but I think people do need to sit around and get bored and like face your demons and kind of figure some shit out. Some people melt down if they do that. So like consult professionals or whatever you got to do. But, you know, for me, the unstructured free time, like I'm fine with that. I've been able to do that since whatever, college or even younger than that. So and knowing your caveat, go ahead.
Well, and I never would have thought I would read like self-help books, for lack of a better term. But having that unstructured time made me realize there are things I always knew there are things I need to work on for myself. But I've had the time. I don't want to say the titles of the books I've read because, you know, like one of them is how to deal with a horrible husband. Yeah. But yeah, I don't want to pinpoint like certain points of my life that I'm trying to make better, but that has been surprising that I've found the time to do that. Never would have thought that would be something that I would attack, which is dumb because I should, and everyone should grow and work on their relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is around if you think people should retire to something or not retire to something. And you already said your caveat. So like you could just say exactly what you think. The example that I'll give is like, I know a couple people, they retired and then they started something and then they ended up creating a job for themselves with like a nonprofit or something like that. And then they realize like, oh, I'm actually like super stressed because I created this thing and I made these goals because I'm type A and they made these goals and they made smart goals. And they're like, I have to reach these goals because that's like what they've always done. So yeah. Any thoughts? And I could tell you the answer I gave is I'm like, it depends. I'm like, I think people could probably benefit from chilling out and not creating something for a little while. And then if you can't help it, then, but I feel like you need to sit for way longer than you think, like a year or two. So what do you think?
I'm glad I didn't retire to something. But I will say, if you don't retire to something, you need to come up with some sort of tight response to what are you doing now, which I don't have. And I still like fumble through that.
So how does that go? We could role play.
Hey,
I'm a new friend at pickleball. Oh, what do you do, Elizabeth?
Pickleball Joe.
It seems like you're out playing pickleball in the middle of the day. What do you do?
I'm not working right now. It's great. Well, usually there's some follow-ups here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's great. So it's a little tough, right? Because I'm relatively young. So I say, yeah, it's good for now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to do it for as long as I can. So that kind of like smooths things over. And then when people say, oh, so what do you do with your time? Well, if you're out on the pickleball court, you can say, well,
I'm doing it right now.
Pickleballing it up. A good one that I have said since I didn't retire to something is I do all the things I did before, but without the stress.
Mm.
And that I really don't think I've picked up any crazy new hobbies, speed puzzling, which, yeah, that doesn't take up a lot of time. But that is something that I didn't do before I retired. But really, it's all the things I did before without the stress. I like to bake. I like to play with Georgie, music, walking, hiking, exercising. It's really just without the cloud of work over my head.
It just expands out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes,
if you don't retire to something, having sort of a tight little plan of how you'll respond to that question is good.
And that's, of course, assuming just like a general population or whatever, yeah, where you're like at the HOA picnic or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have to make some small talk that people normally do.
People expect, I actually have a new friend. I have a new friend that asked, you know, what do you do? And I said, I don't work anymore. And this person said, well, what did you do? It kind of cracked me up. And I was like, oh, are you serious, man? I don't want to talk about what I used to do. Like, screw that. Yeah, but that was funny. I'll tell you who that was when we're off air. But yeah, it was funny. Pretty awesome. What did you? I mean, it's very natural. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it like, even Carl and I have talked about this where it's like, that's the default question. What do you do? And sometimes I'll ask, even now, because it can inform like some commonalities or whatever.
Sure.
And usually I don't care too much, but I'm like, oh, like if we worked in the same industry, maybe we know some of the same people. And then I'm like, oh, what do you really like to do? Like, fuck your job, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's funny. It's easy for me now because I'm just like, oh, I podcast a little bit and people know what that is now. A few years ago, it was like, oh, really? You podcast? Like you make money? Like you have websites or whatever? Yeah, people just, they'll accept like, oh, you got YouTube? That's cool, whatever. And then just move on. But yeah, I've never had to really mention too much. But your point of like whatever you did before will expand to fit. And I think, yeah, I'm doing way, way less work, but all the stuff I was doing before just expands. And I think I waste a lot, in air quotes, waste a lot more time. I'm just relaxing, not doing something stressful, basically. So, nice. All right. This was awesome. We'll do another update before, I don't know, maybe like a year or something like that. But maybe we could record some other episode on a different topic. A lot of people don't know this. The very first podcast that we had, we started it together. It was called Survive the 9 to 5. And we did about 12 to 16 episodes together. And this was 2018. And we didn't know what we were doing. We had a couple microphones and we were trying to make it work. Technical issues were all over the place because we didn't know how to hook things up. And we have better equipment now, better editing software.
Also the worst people to give advice on that topic.
We were surviving.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was, I think there was one episode where we were like three beers in when we started recording. And we're like, this is really good. And I listened to it the next day. That's and I was awful. Like, this is not good. Like, I had to throw that one out.
Is Survive the 9 to 5 still out there?
I think there's like five episodes on my other feed. But yeah, we started this like the end of 2018. And then in 2019, I was like, I'm going to start my own show, The Doug Show. And that, I think I started it at the very beginning of the year, 2019. And then we moved here to Longmont in March of 2019.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, maybe we'll find some topic where we're already talking about it. And then we're like, oh, we should record this. So you did really good.
Thank you. You did too.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer. This show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. So we'll catch y'all next week. For the last couple weeks, we've been mostly off caffeine, me more so, but I talked to Rusty and he used to be like me or me like him. And he would drink a ton of coffee. In the last couple of years, he cut back almost completely. I think he'll have, he drinks decaf coffee because he does like the taste and he'll get caffeine from like chocolate. But other than that, he mostly stays away from it. And he was like, yeah, it improves your sleep. And I was chatting with him and I was like, I thought maybe about cutting back a little bit. But I also talked to another friend named Justin and he's like, yeah, I have like 600 milligrams a day and it's totally fine and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was like, it's been a while. I'll start cutting it out. And I slowly weaned us off from half caffeinated, half decaf over to full decaf. And then I stopped drinking the few Diet Cokes that I would have, like maybe a few per week. And sure enough, I have been sleeping better. It took longer than I expected to kick in. But you went along for the ride on this, although you have caffeine occasionally, but how's it been going from like not having caffeine in the morning as much?
I think I've noticed in the morning that I don't get the pep. that I would get from the caffeine. It still kind of surprises me, though, when I go to an annual physical and they ask about caffeine, my instinct is to say no, because before we were married, I didn't drink coffee.
Okay.
And it used to, in my 20s, it used to really get me riled up, like heart palpitations. And I mean, I didn't feel good. Like, it was bad. So it is interesting how it's changed over time. But yes, I have noticed I have had a little bit more caffeine than you. So, but I sleep pretty well generally anyway.
Yeah. And like, I would have whatever, three or four cups of coffee. And we used to drink like full caffeinated, but then I started to cut back, just observing that I was like more irritable or something like that.
Is that possible?
I was even more irritable. You have had a little bit of caffeine.
I haven't noticed a change in the irritability.
Well, maybe your senses are like dulled because you're not having caffeine.
Maybe.
Am I calmer? Can you tell?
I can't. I haven't noticed a significant change in your behavior. You may have actually, it's also deep winter time here. You have been getting into bed a little earlier. It'll be like 6:30.
How early?
I think there's been a few, maybe like 7:15, 7:30. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, I know we go to bed early, but...
Mountain time or Eastern?
Mountain time. Yeah. Huh. I think that actually, but again, it's so dark and cold. Well, it hasn't been that cold of a winter, but I have noticed. So maybe that does track that you've been a little less peppy at night.
Although, I don't know. So the big thing, and I'll probably record something more, but I'm getting more deep sleep, like later in the night. So I still wake up in the middle of the night, but I'll fall asleep even harder. Anyway, it's been pretty awesome. Now, you have had a little bit more caffeine than me. So like yesterday, picked up some breakfast for you and you were like, give me a coffee. And I was like, ooh, that smells good. That's pretty cool. And then
it was so good.
How'd you feel? So yeah, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, coffee.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can tell it after a Diet Coke. I had one the other day. I don't know why I was feeling sluggish and I had a Diet Coke and
getting over a cold, you
know. Immediately got me through the day.
Yeah. And I re-listened to a book, Michael Pollan. I think it's only like 2 hours. It's like a long essay, really. But it was caffeine. And essentially, like, he went off caffeine for 3 months or so. And the first one back, he was like, oh my God, caffeine is amazing.
I think it's a main ingredient in those sport gels, too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's a drug.
Some of them have it. Yeah. It's like one of the most widely used and like very few ill effects. And I mean, also in the Pollan book, he mentions like cognitively, it is like better typically. Sometimes people do stuff faster and wrong, but most of the time it is a good thing.
I think you'd rather be fast and wrong than slow and right.
It depends on what it is.
Most everything, I think. You're slow and right, no one's there to see it.
You're just thinking about the Olympics. The Olympics are on, like the time that recording this, the Olympics are on. Although we just watched the figure skating, the men's figure skating, whatever, and it's just like, don't fall, right? The guy that got the gold medal, I forget his name, the Georgian, right?
I don't remember his name either, but he did quite well.
Don't fall, right?
Falling's bad.
I don't know much about figure skating, by the way. Anyway, so it's been a cool experiment, and I think the takeaway, I'll go back to caffeine because I do enjoy it a lot. And I have been, like, my energy levels have been, I think, more even, like, through the day. Fewer crashes, but not as many, like, highs. So, sometimes I would have an energy drink before I would record. And that typically is helpful, like, if it's not, I mean, if you have too much caffeine, like, that, you kind of go off the rails and stuff. But workouts are less.
You had, like, a secret stash of energy drinks down here.
Yeah, it's right around the corner there. It's hidden.
Yeah.
Behind the sheets over there.
With like absurd names. Yeah.
Like what?
Like
it's just monster.
Like death juice. Yeah. I don't know.
Death juice.
Well, yeah.
Is that the flavor or the name of the brand?
It's the effect.